Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this special service is recorded in the Acts of the Apostles, the second chapter, beginning with the first verse. Due to the length of the text and the fact that I've already read it once, I'm not going to read it again. Dear friends in Christ, the last days, we speak of them often. The end could happen at any time. In fact, Peter thought it would happen in his time. So did Paul. Many have tried to pinpoint that time, but to no avail. Well, only God knows when the end will happen. And he has given us ideas on what will lead up to that end. Well, the Acts of the Apostles, we have Peter referring to Joel, who spoke of the end times, things that would lead up to the final coming of our Lord to judge. As we listen to our text, we see that we are in the last days. First of all, Joel says, this is what God said will happen in the last days. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Joel wrote this quite a while ago, but yet he said, signs of the end time, part of those signs will be the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. He didn't say how it would happen. He didn't give an exact date. He said, though, it will happen. It will be a sign that you are in the end times. He goes on. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days and they will prophesy. I like to characterize these events as miracles. People will receive special revelations from God. What they'll be like, I don't know. In the Old Testament, it was common, wasn't it? But in the New Testament, he said, and especially he speaks of us speaking God's word. Where do we get that ability from? Not from ourselves. It's from that gift of the Holy Spirit. I firmly believe that in your baptism, the Holy Spirit entered you as a baby. And although you couldn't talk, he gave you the ability to confess Christ. And later on, it did that. I've seen a lot of little kids who come home from church or from Sunday school or vacation Bible school, and wow, they confess that word so perfectly. No mistakes. Clearly. Because the Holy Spirit was in them. And Joel said, that's going to be the case. When you're in the end times, the gospel is going to be proclaimed by everybody. Young and old, rich and poor, strong and weak. They're all going to be receiving gifts of the Holy Spirit, which will give them the power to proclaim the word. This is what Joel says will happen. And guess what it did? Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. When we think of Pentecost, we think of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, right? Well, what did the people at that time think about Pentecost? It was a festival, very similar to our mission festival. It was a time when the farmers brought the first of the grain harvest, the cream of the crop, to Jerusalem. to the temple to offer to God. And so, on that day, many, many people from many, many different areas were there. Now, there were godly Jewish men from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia and of Judah, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya around Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. From all over the known world, proselytes and Jews, Jews who had lived in other countries, were all in Jerusalem on that day when our Pentecost happened. Suddenly, a sound like the rushing of a violent wind came from heaven, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw divided tongues that were like fire resting on each one of them. Another miracle. Unexpected. Now, how many people did this include? There are different ideas. Some say perhaps the 11 plus Matthias, the 12. Others say there were probably over 100 people in that room. They also don't know where that room was. But the point is, there were men there that received a very special gift. And it was visible. Tongues of fire. Some say there was a big ball of fire, and from that ball of fire, little pieces of fire like tongues came out and landed on each one of these people in that room. And when it did, they spoke miraculously. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages, since the Spirit was giving them the ability to speak fluently. This was not the gibberish that we hear about in Pentecostal churches who talk about speaking in tongues and nobody understands what they are saying. But they say it's a gift from God. It's my way of talking to God. Well, that's not the case of what happened on Pentecost. All of these people from all over the world were suddenly amazed because these Galileans spoke their language fluently. Now, when I went away to school, I knew English pretty well. I was a sophomore in high school. We had to learn Latin. It's a dead language, but it's the basis for the English language, so we had to learn Latin. Second, third year high school, German. Two kinds. Spoken German, that's the kind they speak in Germany today, and then the classical German, which is what all the writings of Luther were written in. And then we get to college, first year in college, Greek, because that's the language of the New Testament. Third year college, Hebrew, the language of the Old Testament. Did I learn anything? Can I speak those languages today? Well, when I got out in the ministry, my first year out in southwestern Minnesota, and I went to a nursing home to see four elderly shut-ins. I did my devotion, gave them communion. I was ready to leave, and one gentleman stands up and says, "Pastor, would you do this in German next time?" Okay. So my 2.5 years there, whenever I went to that nursing home, yes, I did a devotion in German. I can't do it anymore. But I did it then. But it took me how long to learn to be able to do that? several years. And yet here, immediately, these men speak other languages fluently. A miracle. A fulfillment of Joel's prophecy. The result? Today, the gospel is proclaimed. At our seminary now, Spanish is almost a required language because so many Spanish people have become members of our churches. Our church in Detroit, Palabra de Vida, the pastor there is a young pastor. He has two services, one in English, one in Spanish. Not unusual. I know back in my hometown of Manitowoc, there's a large contingent of Vietnamese. And so we have taught a few of those members to speak God's word to them, and they do. And now we even have some Vietnamese who are pastors in our own country. The last times the word will be proclaimed to the ends of the earth. And it is happening. And we've seen this how many times on the Wells Connection. How it's amazing how our synod just keeps growing as more and more nations ask us to please come in and talk to us. And tell us the word of God. Tell us about Jesus. And they believe it. That shows that because that is happening, we are in the end times. So what's going to happen when finally the Lord appears? I will show wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and a rising cloud of smoke. This refers to unusual occurrences in nature. Climate change. Anybody ever heard that term? I think it's always been around. When we had a tornado today, we all know about it, right? Back in 1970, if we had a tornado in an outlying area, we didn't even know about it because there wasn't any coverage. But the point is, upheavals in nature will be getting more and more prevalent as the end nears. About a month ago, when all these tornadoes hit us in Michigan, including in Ann Arbor, the comment was made, oh yes, the tornado zone has moved north. Maybe. What they didn't acknowledge was the fact that there are more tornadoes. There are. Yesterday morning, I thought, beautiful day. Walked over to church, and boy, I was happy I got there when I did, because it poured. Yesterday, late afternoon, it poured again. Went to see my doctor, Adrian. We didn't get any rain. Localized storms can be very, very powerful. Earthquakes, volcanoes, hurricanes, forest fires, or as they call them today, wildfires. I don't know what's the difference. But Joel said, it's going to get worse. It's a sign that we're in the end times. And then comes the end. The sun will be turned to darkness, the moon to blood, before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. Tumult, total. The world as we know it will disappear. Gone. Then the trumpets will blow. The angels, the good angels, will appear with the Lord, assembling all the people that have ever lived. And judgment day will happen. And Peter, in his sermon, kind of ends with a positive note, doesn't he? And this will happen. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. He doesn't talk about the unbelievers. He talks about you. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Heaven will be your home. That was the message that Peter shouted out on that first Pentecost. He was telling them, you're already in the end times. The Lord is going to come. And when he does, you who believe will be taken to live with him in glory. So be ready. The Holy Spirit, he continues to work in us. Upheavals in nature are increasing. The end is near. We are in the last days. Be ready, because the Lord is coming to take you to heaven. Amen.